Good to go. This week we're looking at Practical Reverence, Part 4. And it's specifically, we're looking at seeking God's face. Seeking God's face. And we'll get into what does that mean in His Word. We see seeking His face. And seeking His face in the context of reverence and building that reverence for God as we pursue a deeper, more meaningful, personal relationship with God and seeking to be in His presence, humbly positioning ourselves to be close to God, aligning our life with His Word and His will. And it's much more than just, it's going beyond simply seeking God's blessings, but seeking His face, not just what He has in His hand for us. I think about God where He so enjoys, and it says He has joy in delivering His people and His Word. And the blessings that He gives unto us are just remarkable. But sometimes when I think of God, it's like eyes up here. Not just here. Eyes up here. Seek my face. Seek me. And one of the things as we grow in God's Word and we look at what God has written in His Word about Himself is the real prize that we get as believers out of life isn't what we get from Him, but that we get Him. That we get Him as our God and our Father. When we first started this, I guess, series, we went to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we're going to go there to start this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And it's one of those verses that are just so loaded. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7, and verse 14. And I know we've read it before, but it continues to help us in our pursuit of building a reverence towards God. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We looked at humility in part one. We looked at prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. We looked at subjecting ourselves unto God, for He is sovereign. And when we look at this, to seek my face, to seek my face, in God's Word, it's a Hebrewism, or Hebraism, about the face is the entire person. Seek my face. In fact, the word face in the Hebrew is always in plural. Always. Not that there's more than one face, but all of it in its magnitude, in its fullness, in its greatness. And when God says, seek my face, what He's really saying is, seek me. Seek me. Seek me out. Be interested in me. Delight in me. Come to me. Come into my presence. It's an invitation. Seek my face. Seek my face. Right in the neighborhood, if we go to the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, we have this this song of thanksgiving that David sings here. And the backstory is they're going to retrieve the ark. The Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. And then it stayed, the Philistines had a multiplicity of ailments because they had the ark, and they figured it's no longer profitable for them to keep the ark. And it stayed with Abinadab for like 20 years, and they're moving it, but they're moving it in a cart. Maybe you've heard of this record. And the ark, the ox or something stumbles, and Uzzah was bringing it in the cart. Uzzah was the son of the fellow at the house where it had stayed, Obed-Edom. And he reaches up to steady, like, have you ever done that? Reach to steady something that was falling? And he was killed for it. He died. Because the things of God are quite serious. And it grieved David greatly that Uzzah died. Uzzah was a Levite, but he was not a priest. And in God's word, the only people that were to touch and handle the ark were the priests of the line of Aaron. He was a Levite, but he wasn't a priest. So we have here, when they're getting the ark, finally, in verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph and the brethren, they were the singers. A very important job. He was a singer. Verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek, verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Seek his face. Seeking God. God is so clear in his word about wanting to have a relationship with us. He's not just the storehouse for blessings. He's our Heavenly Father. He's our God. We are his people. We're important to him. He's concerned about us. He wants the best for us. He wants the best for us so that we can have that relationship with him. And we aren't just to seek him for blessings, for deliverance, for protection. We're to seek him for him. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, he's talking about, you know, take no anxious thought about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seeking God first is more important than the blessings. Are the blessings important? Yes. Just get that cleared out. Does God want us to pray for our needs and our sufficiency? Yes. But it shouldn't just stop there. Well, we're seeking him out for a relationship with him, to seek his face. Turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at a few of these today. The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalm 27. One of the greats. They're all great. Psalm 27. Look at verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Think of that invitation. It wasn't just for one man. Seek my face, and where we can get to the point where we make that decision, thy face, Lord, we will seek. We will seek. To seek him, to seek his presence, to be close to God. Be close to God. Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. Look at the very beginning of this psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Did you kind of think that when we were singing that psalm, that song this morning? Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. That's what we were doing. Just like the psalm says. Verse 3. Glory in ye in his holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. God wants us to pursue a connection with him. You hear a lot about connections today. In the business world, the academic world, making connections, where we make connections. God wants us to make a connection with him. And he's given us the opportunity and the means by which we can connect with him. Especially in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the new birth, in the plan of salvation, in eternal life. In Psalm 103, just hang on for a second. Psalm 103, God says about Moses, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. What's the difference? What's the difference? He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. See, Moses had a very intimate relationship with God, a very unique and wonderful relationship with God. Moses was privy, you could say, to the things of God, who he was, his plans, his purposes, his ways. You ever heard the phrase, the whys and wherefores of something? God let Moses know the whys and wherefores. The children of Israel, they were content on seeing what God did. You see, Moses dared to venture into the presence of God, where the children of Israel were pretty much content to stand at their tents and say, yep, you go right ahead, Moses. Moses endeavored to seek God, to seek his face. And there's another place in Exodus chapter 33 where God said he spake to Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. Exodus 33:11, if you're jotting down notes. He spoke to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend. He spoke to Moses not from a distance. And for many people, God is this ethereal thing way beyond the heavens where you really can't have a relationship with him. He's just out there so far. He's so far away. Moses had a relationship with God face to face. And it doesn't mean that Moses got to see God, because he did not see his face. But he was in God's presence. And God manifested his presence unto Moses. As a man speaks face to face. In another record, in Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron were getting a little cocky, like, well, we're with you too, God. We're prophets too. Let's just go there. Numbers 12, fourth book, Numbers 12. And we'll just start in verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses, now watch this, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was so meek. Who wrote Numbers? He had to write this about himself. He was humble unto God, and he did what he had him write. Now Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, or will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches or in the similitude of the Lord, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Face to face, mouth to mouth. Moses had an intimate relationship with God. God made known his ways to Moses, the whys and wherefores. He made known himself unto Moses. He made known his acts unto the children of Israel. He went beyond a relationship Moses had with God, went beyond just God's good. He protected us at the Red Sea. He did all these miracles, all these deeds, which were remarkable. They were remarkable things. But Moses went beyond that. The relationship that Moses had with God was beyond just the things, beyond just the miracles, beyond just the deeds. He wanted to know the ways of God, about God, when we think about that. So when we look at the phrase in God's word, seeking God's face, it's very important to seek his presence, to seek him. And what we will find out in life as believers, like I said earlier, God is the prize. A relationship with God is the goal. That's what life is all about. Do we rejoice in the deliverance that God has provided for us? I know everyone in this room has had deliverance of one sort or another, and you can link it right back to God. Thank you, Lord. We can. But it's so much more than just the deliverance, so much more than just the blessing, so much more than the protection, so much more than that. It's a relationship with God. When we grow in our understanding of God and we see Him for who He is, He will be more than just a benefactor of blessings. It's more than that. Is He a benefactor of blessings? Yes. But God wants more. He wants us. He wants our heart. He wants our adoration. He wants us to glorify Him and to praise Him. Man was created for God's glory. For God's glory. And seeking God, the presence of God, the face of God, seeking that can be manifest in different ways. We looked at prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. We looked at a humble positioning of our hearts before Him. But another way to seek God is to go to His Word. How important is God's Word to us? It's so huge. Some people study the Word of God for knowledge. Some people study the Word of God so they can make it fit together. Some people study the Word of God so they can promote an agenda. But the heart of why we would study the Word of God is to seek Him in His Word. To seek Him in His Word. I think about 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we know that in the Greek, that literally means all Scripture, God breathed. The breath of God, the life-giving breath and life of God is in these words. They're more than just words. They are spirit and they are life. So when we go to God's Word, it should be more than just knowing a lot about God's Word, but to see Him in His Word, to seek Him out. God has given us so much in these Scriptures. I think about these different things that we've been looking at about humility and prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, and subjecting ourselves unto the sovereignty of God, and now seeking His face. Those items aren't mutually exclusive. We do them together and we blend them. When we go to God's Word and we're seeking out God, seeking out His ways, when we're looking for Him in His Word, do you think if we pray to God to show us Himself in His Word, if we pray to God to show us His ways in His Word, we can do that. If we show and position ourselves humbly before Him as we're going to His Word, because it is God's Word, we can do that all at the same time. Studying the Scripture is to get to know Him. Not just to know stuff. One time I was studying the kings. I was studying the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, and it was a vast amount of information that I was parking in my brain. But the great thing that I saw as I was going through there is how God was with His people and how God's Word was faithful. Now, people are fickle, but God is not. We could see, you can see that as we're going through there. Was there a lot of information? Yeah, it was a ton of information. But amidst all the ton of information was God revealing Himself and His ways that He is with His people. Another thing that can help us in our seeking of God. So we've got prayer, definitely prayer, and seeking God in His Word. And another thing is meditating, pondering God. Now, when I say meditating, I am not like people, when you say meditating, don't picture me in the full lotus position, okay? Because those people say meditation is to empty your mind of thought. And no! When it comes to God and His Word, meditating is not to empty your mind of thought, but to fill your mind of thoughts of Him. Right? Meditating, pondering, where we pray, where we look for God in His Word and His ways in His Word, and we ponder it. And we ponder God, and we ponder who He is, and we ponder His greatness, and we ponder His holiness and His goodness and His relationship with us and His ways. Where we ponder these things, we meditate upon these things. Do you think when we're pondering, we can pray God, pray to God? Do you think when we're pondering, we can read a verse again and again and again and ponder it and wonder and meditate about it? Yeah. But to think of God, to sit there and treasure the thoughts of God in our hearts and ponder those things. You see plenty of places in the Psalms where God's word is the delight of their heart, and in the law they meditate both day and night. That means to ponder both day and night. Not that you shouldn't sleep. That's not the point. But at all times. How many times have you go to bed, the things of this world are swirling, and then finally you let go. You're ready to sleep. I call it exhaling. The day's over. I can't do anything about it. And many times it's in those moments where you, when you think about God and the things of God, how things seem to gel, how things seem to come together in our understanding about God. The night watch, as it talks about, meditating between the night watches. I think there's, in Psalm 104, verse 34, it says, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord." My meditation of Him, right? Not of stuff, but my meditation of Him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. I will be glad in Him. That's what we get. We get Him. I will be glad in Him. And that meditation, that pondering of God, will be some of the sweetest times we'll ever have. It'll be sweet. Seeking God has an abundance of blessings that go along with it. But we are seeking Him. In Hebrews, it talks about it's without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please Him without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Think about that. I'll read it again. Or grab it in your own Bible. Read it with me. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And some scholars believe it's an omission that He is God. And that He, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I was talking about this verse to one person, one man, one time, and he's like, yeah, He's going to diligently reward me for seeking Him. And he was talking about stuff. He was talking about stuff. And it's like, the great reward of seeking Him is that he will make sure that we find him, that we will have him, that we'll have a relationship with him. And the more we grow in our prayer life, our study of God's word, and when I say study God's, reading it, 99% of it, just you read it. It is what it says. You read it. And then we ponder those things. Remember where God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens is higher above the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Well, if they're so high, how can we possibly understand what God... We can, as humans, can never fully understand what God is or who God is. But what we can do is what he's revealed to us, we can hold to that. Got your Bibles? Turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. This is one of those underlined verses in my Bible. And I think about it quite often as I'm looking for God and his word. Deuteronomy 29:29. It's easy to remember that one, isn't it? 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things, there's lots of stuff that God knows that he hasn't shared with us. They belong to him. I call them the mind of God stuff. That's too big for me. But what he's revealed in his word, that belongs to me. Belongs to me. It belongs to us and to our children. So when God reveals this stuff about himself in his word, that belongs to us. That belongs to us. I'm going to be closing in the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. Out of the mouth of Jesus himself, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Verse 3. This is his prayer to God about his loved ones. Towards the end of his life, and he says this in verse 3, and this is life eternal, or you could say eternal life. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You want to know what real life is? That's what real life is. That we may know God, the only true God, and that we may know Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. So when we seek God out, we seek him out in his word that he has revealed unto us, to get to know him, get to know his ways, to build a relationship with him. I think of it this way. You ever heard of somebody writing in a diary? And it's like, the things of their heart, the things of their heart are written in that diary. And if someone really wanted to know somebody, what if that person handed over their diary to them? Could they learn something about that person that maybe they never knew? This is God's word. He's had it written for us, and he's handed it to us. But we could seek him out in it. So we can seek God out in our prayer. We can seek God out in our humility towards him. It all builds a reverence towards God. It builds a reverence You know, we so fear and reverence God that he's not just a place we can get blessings from. But he's a father unto us, a heavenly father. We get to know him. And the greatest prize, the greatest reward for diligently seeking him is that we find him, that we get to know him, that we have a relationship with him. And that all builds, as we build that relationship with God, as we're seeking his face, that builds our reverence towards God. Amen? Amen.